Hello everyone, I am Roger Pipe of RogerReviews.com. Welcome to part 8 of our 2016 AVN Award Nomination Podcast Series. Parts 1 through 7 are available. If you want to go back and listen, you will pretty much catch on. I guess you may not have to watch the first 7. Listen to the first 7 to catch on to what's going on here. We are basically going down the ballot for the 2016 AVN Awards. I am a voter in that awards, have been for about 8 years, in addition to being an adult film critic for 20 years. So this is a series of podcasts we do to just sort of go over the process, some of the best there is to offer, and maybe spark some interesting discussions about the adult entertainment world. The rest of the podcasts are available on RogerReviews.com. That's my site. We do have a sponsor for today's podcast. I would like to thank the generous sponsorship of MCA, Media Crunch Advisors of Los Angeles. They provide advisory and evaluation services to the content media community at large. MCA would like me to acknowledge FreeOnes.com, a great website for interaction and fan and model interaction, one of my favorite sites, as well as acknowledging RogerReviews.com, which I will plug plenty. I'll thank them for that and move forward so we don't delay too much. Did want to talk a little bit about the fan voting over on AVNAwards.com. If you click on Vote on that site, you will see fan-based categories. The voting on that is actually open until the 22nd of January 2016, so we will do a couple podcasts later in this series about those voting. I want to talk about those. Largely a social media thing, so anybody out there listening wants to pass it on to your favorite female, male, transgender performers and cam performers who would like to maybe send in some vote signs, some eye candy, anything you want. That one we can definitely accept influence, as you will. So I'm just looking over the favorite female performer. If you happen to know, A.J. Applegate is on the ballot. Alexis Texas, Annika Albright, Bonnie Rotten, Carter Cruz, Asa Akira, Cindy Starfall, Dana D'Armond, Jillian Jansen, Kalina Ryu, Joanna Angel, Keisha Gray, Remy LaCroix, Riley Reed, Stacey Carr, Valentina Nappi. Hey, if you happen to know any of them, Vicky Chase. If you know any of them, they'd like to send in some eye candy. When we talk about female performer, we will put up the picture next to it, and we will absolutely sort of push their agenda. Now, on the regular voting, obviously we don't do that. I take my voting very seriously. We will mention at least once in every podcast that it is a weighted voting system, so a category with 15 nominees. We do have to rank them 1 through 15. It's not just a first or a first, second, third. And where they place on the ballot definitely matters, especially when you're looking at about 22 voters total. So each ballot, you know, roughly 4.5% of the voting. So if someone drops to 15 on a ballot, it could hurt them a lot. And if someone just doesn't pay attention, only ranks their first couple, it could definitely affect the outcome. So I do a lot of that. We are going along over on avnawards.avn.com. You can just go to avnawards.com and click nominees. We are almost halfway down, starting with Best Marketing Campaign Company Image. I don't know how many of you guys are really that interested in this anymore. I'm not sure, as the industry changes, what overall company image means. But here we've got Adam and Eve, Adult Empire, Arrows Entertainment, Blacked / Tushy, Burning Angel Entertainment, Digital Sin, New Sensations, Elegant Angel, Evil Angel, Girlfriend Films, James Dean Productions, Jules Jordan Video, Mile High Media, Vivid Entertainment, Wicked Pictures, and Wood Rocket. That's pretty much everybody who's making movies these days, with the exception of Brazzers. And their absence on this list. They haven't really done a lot of marketing, though, I guess, this year. When you look at something new like Arrows or Blacked and Tushy, you're talking about new companies that are making an impact and have done that largely through marketing and branding. Those of you who've seen the Blacked and Tushy stuff, it has a specific look, and it absolutely stands out, and it's original. So they've done a great job there. Evil Angel always does a great job of marketing. Joanna Angel Burning Angel Entertainment really has taken a niche and made themselves a power player. Vivid, I think, has not done enough marketing recently. Wicked is really outshining them. So, moving on. I really don't know who I'm going to vote for there. I'll have to think a little harder. Best marketing campaign for an individual project. These, I think, are a little easier to spot, because any individual project these days that shows up on your radar is in large part because of some marketing. Batman vs. Superman, Triple X, being Riley from Tushy. That was Tushy.com's entrance into features. It's a great movie, by the way. I talked about it last time. Probably my favorite movie of the year. Brazzers House, which was something that Brazzers did. Courtney Uncovered, the Courtney Stodden sex tape from Vivid Celebrity. DP Star, which is a sort of a reality-based contest Digital Playground's doing. Nardians of the Galaxy, Wood Rocket, one of their funny porn parody compilations. Caitlyn Jenner, the Trans 500 Caitlyn Jenner parody. Magic Mike Triple X from Wicked. Marriage 2.0, Lion's Reach, and Adam and Eve. Rhonda Arouse Me from Burning Angel, which I thought was a very clever title and neat movie. Safe Landings, Adam and Eve. Screwing Wall Street, The Arrangement Finders IPO from Manuel Ferrara and Evil Angel. Taylor Lee and Chandler, Going for the Gold, Vivid Celebrity. Wanted from Wicked and Adam and Eve. And Women of the Middle East, Kelly Madison, Juicy. As far as marketing goes, I don't think Vivid did a great job really pushing the Courtney or the Taylor Leanne stuff. Maybe because there's not a whole lot of interest. It's not like they got a hold of an A-list celebrity for their celebrity sex tape this year. The Rhonda Arouse Me stuff got some mainstream play when, you know, Rhonda Rousey heard about it. A little surprised the Caitlyn Jenner thing didn't get more publicity. So those are some of the ones that stood out for me a little bit. Nothing really jumped out. And I think part of that is just mainstream is tired of porn. A lot of the industry's changed, and it's become a little less interesting. So nothing really stands out as a breakthrough project. Now, best MILF movie. Cougar Sandwich from Zero Tolerance, Cougars in Heat, Penthouse, Lex is a Motherfucker 4 from Lexington Steel, Manuel is a MILFaholic, Miami MILFs from Josh Stone, MILF Passion from Arrows, MILF Performers of the Year 2015, Elegant Angel, MILFs Like It Black 21 from Mofos, Mom Knows Best from Babes, Prime MILF 2 from Hard X, Pure MILF 10 from Pure Passion, Seduced by a Cougar 36, Naughty America, Swallowing MILFs Popcorn, Trashy MILFs Wicked, True MILF Archangel. I gotta say, the MILF Performers of the Year 2015. Now, Elegant Angel for a while now has been making Performers of the Year, Starlets of the Year, and now MILF Performers of the Year. They're superstar movies. They get the 5-6 best, in their opinion, best performers in the category, and they put them together in one movie. And I think that gives this movie an advantage, because they took the very best and put them together. The Lex number 4 was very good, had some hot girls. All the rest of them have some good scenes. Good scenes, not so good scenes. The Elegant Angel one, though, has the advantage because it took with some good stuff. They've hired some short-term contract girls, done a lot of really good marketing. They've made themselves a very good first-year imprint. That said, I think you're probably going to see Tushy walk away with it this year. After the success of Blacked a year ago, I think turning around now and seeing what they've done with Tushy, I have a feeling that's going to be the winner. And there's some good ones. I mean, BAM Visions has done some really good stuff. That's Mick Blue and Annika Albright and Claudio. Archangel, as I said. AE Films has done some nice stuff, a lot of sort of star vehicle stuff. JV Models brings over some hot Japanese movies. Tony Rivas does good work. I think Tushy is probably your best bet. Now, transitioning, learning to speak English for the first time. Before we transition once again, now's a good time to mention that sponsorships for this podcast are available. We are currently sponsored by Media Crunch Advisors, MCA of Los Angeles. They are a content media service. If you need their services, please check them out. They would like me to acknowledge freeones.com. Check out freeones.com. They great way to get to know new models, see what stuff they've done, interact and talk to fans about their performances. And they'd also like me to acknowledge rogerviews.com, where you'll find this podcast and close to 10,000 reviews now of movies, websites, toys, and just general stuff, as well as fantasy football. So if you know happen to like fantasy sports, also something new that we'll be announcing very soon. Anyway, back to it. Best new series, Too Cute for Porn from Manuel Ferrara. Some of you may remember there was a performer named Too Pretty for Porn, and she used the numbers 2 and 4 in her name. All Access from Arrows, Deviant Devil from Deviant Metro, I've Got It Bad for Stepdad from Rodney Vision, Kink School, Severe Sex, Lex's Tattooed Vixens from Lexington Steel, Manuel's Maximum Penetration from Jules Jordan, Make 'em Sweat, Kelly Madison, My Hot Wife's Gangbangs from New Sensations, Prison Lesbians from Sweethearts, Schoolgirl Bound, Digital Sin, Stepmom Videos from Bang Productions, The Three of Us from Porn Pros, Wet for Women Girlfriends, and Triple X Eurotrip from Porno Dan. By the way, Porno Dan, one of my favorite people in the industry. Love that guy. Really miss working with him, so hope to work with him again in the future. Best new series? That's a tough call. There's some interesting stuff here. The Lex's Tattooed Vixens is really good. It just, it's like the rest of Lex's movies. They're all very good. Hot sex, especially if you like interracial with big dicks. It just happens to have girls with tattoos. Good or bad? Both. I mean, I like it. It's like the rest of his stuff. So that's a good one. My Hot Wife's Gangbang is a great series from New Sensations. I really enjoyed every, episodes from that one. That would probably be my top pick. Although Make 'em Sweat from Kelly Madison, that's a little nice twist on what they do over at Kelly Madison. All right. This appears to be the new... everything new. Best New Starlet. Okay, so this is kind of our first really big award that we've gone over in 8 podcasts. Thank you guys for listening, by the way. This is pretty remarkable. Again, I didn't mention at the beginning, I do appreciate your feedback. Enter feedback at the bottom of the page or send an email, roger@rogerviews.com, Roger T. Pipe over on Twitter. Text me if you got the number. Whatever you want. Questions. Before we do Best New Starlet, we had talked in some of the previous things about where do we put James Dean on our ballot and how do we deal with the controversy. And in a similar question, someone put up on Twitter, ask how should voters treat performers who are not nice to us? There are occasional Twitter spats and different arguments between critics and performers and companies, and I've had my share over the years. And it's funny because someone said, you know, how would you handle, and I'm not going to mention the situation, there was a situation between a critic and a director and then a company owner, how would you handle this? And you know, the funny thing is there's someone on the ballot every year who made some physical threats, had a few pretty horrible things to say to a friend of mine, and immediately blocked me on social media. So I cannot see what this person posts, which is absolutely fine. But this person can't see when I post nice things, like I really think they should have won for Best Actor last year. And so clearly where I would put that person on the ballot is where I believe they belong. That said, is it hard to just not say fuck that guy and put him at the bottom? Sure. If you have a performer who's super nice to you, is it hard to not vote for them? Of course it is. We're human. And I think that's true in anything. I'm sure the Academy Award voters, you know, probably don't vote for certain people because they're assholes. So I think that's, you know, I try to put it aside, and just critique the art. And that's where I think being professional comes in handy. You know, I mean, I listen to music from artists who I don't agree with or don't particularly like. You know. So that's where that is. Thank you for the question. Where would I put someone who I had a beef with? As best as I can, where the performance belongs. If I'm voting for them for Person of the Year, hell yeah, I'm dropping them. But, you know, I don't think that the fact that this male performer, you know, threatened to kick my ass and was a total dick to my webmaster, that doesn't mean that they're not a good actor. So that's just where I fall on that. All right, so now we're going to get into our final category for the day. Best New Starlet. Of course, this is your basic Rookie of the Year. You're going to find some really good performers here. I'm pretty pleased with this category. The overall nominees. This is one of the stronger ones, I think. So, up for Best New Starlet. Aria Alexander, Bella Bells, Marley Brinks, Abella Danger, Kate England, Carly Gray, Katrina Jade, Peta Jensen, Cassidy Klein, Morgan Lee, Rachel Midori, Kiera Nicole, Jade Nile, Megan Rain, Kissa Sins. I had to do some looking for some of these girls because I haven't seen a lot from some of them. I think the obvious choice, if you're going to bet, if you're going to put some money down, and I'm not sure you even can, I think Abella Danger is the one that stands out as everybody's favorite. Abella is attractive, great ass, really, really hyper-energetic performances. Kind of tough to argue. She's had a really good body of work. Eros did a lot of work with her on Star Vehicle-type stuff. She would be very tough to beat. If I had a vote, and I do, she would be in my top five. I'm going to give you my top five. Haven't finalized my vote yet, but I'm getting close. Like I said, I'm looking at some of the other girls. If I'm going to give you a top five, I'm just going over this again really quick. Bella's on that top five, so is Kate England. So is Carly Gray. So is Katrina Jade. And probably Kissa Sins. And I gotta tell you, I'm leaning strongly toward Carly Gray these days as my favorite. But I think Abella Danger is probably the one to watch. So that is all. That's it for this week. This episode. My goodness, that's all for this episode. Number 8 in the books. We'll be back with number 9. Don't forget fan voting. If you know someone who's nominated, have them send us over a picture, a fan sign or something. We will get the voting available. Take a look at rodreviews.com. Take a look at pipelinemultimedia.com for all of your adult entertainment and mainstream entertainment PR needs. It's a company I am partners in. Also, thank you again to our generous sponsors. MCA, Media Crunch Advisors of Los Angeles, providing advisory and evaluation services to the content media community at large. And they would like me, of course, to acknowledge Rod Reviews, which I have, and freeones.com, still one of the best places to go visit. Check them out. Check out some of the new girls. Who's your favorite? There's my open question. In that category that I just mentioned, I gave you my top five. Who's your favorite? And do you think I'm right? Do you think Abella Danger is the overwhelming favorite? Either way, let me know. Roger at RogerReviews.com, Roger T. Pipe on Twitter, or find me in other ways. Love your feedback. Hope you're all having a wonderful, happy new year. All the best to you. Thanks for listening. I will see you again in episode 9.